I was reading through a journal and came across some studies in Jeremiah. And something God said to me, because Jeremiah, we felt like we have a Jeremiah ministry today. And we've said that for years. But there were some things God spoke to me this one time. And he said, this earth is polluted, infected, and there are judgment coming. He said, but what I want to talk about is what I want to say to my people. And first of all, to the people who had left God and walked away from him, and speaking to them about coming back. But then he wanted to speak to his people who have not left him. And he said, the trials that are coming upon them are with a hope. No, the people that did leave him. The trials that came on them are with the hope that they would return to me. Some will heed the early warnings and repent. Some will turn only under fear and torment, but they will return. Others will hold their stubborn ways, and they must be removed from the earth because they refuse to be prepared. Then he speaks in general to all of his people. Some of my people will be here, and they will find protection. They will not be called up to fight. But I'm also coming to prepare the warriors, the witnesses, the watchmen, and the prophets, the preachers, the pastors, the healers, the dancers, the worshipers, the intercessors, the artists, the authors, the actors, and all the creative new ones, all for my end time army. Each group was spoken like with authority, like he was announcing, these are the people that make up my end time army. And it was like there's going to be this awesome anointing that will be released on the people that are willing to be prepared. So that all of my people will be affected, tested, trained, and prepared for the time to come. The warnings of Jeremiah 15 are for my people first. No one can hide and no one can avoid this season. What we want to talk about tonight, because it was quite a list that pretty well includes everybody, everyone is here with a purpose. Everyone is that God created of his people are here on a mission. But if we don't know who we are, and we don't really see ourselves as God sees us, and we don't know what our purpose is, then we just live every day like a list of chores and mundane routine thing we have to go through, you know, like it's meaningless. And nothing is meaningless. There's training in everything we go through. So anyway, in Jeremiah 1:5, I just want us to kind of look at who we are tonight and see if we can get some perspective on our life. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. It's just been jumping around inside of me all week. It is so amazing that he formed us and he knew us in heaven before we ever were even put in the womb. As we go on, we're going to find a verse where it says, one of the New Testament verses where it says that God knew me before he created the world. Well, if he knew us before he even created the world, that means that we were created first and then the world. And the world's already a couple of few, who knows how many thousands years old. And all of a sudden, it becomes the time we were born. So where were we until we were born if we're created thousands of years ago and then all of a sudden we're sent to earth? We were in heaven. He knew us. And when he told Jeremiah, I ordained you and sanctified you in the womb, God doesn't ordain someone who isn't ready to be ordained. So in the flesh, somebody lays hands on you and they ordain you after you've been trained, after you've made choices. I believe when God made us, he created us, all those years in heaven that he knew us, he had experience with who he created us to be in relationship and fellowship, and he already knew that we were going to choose him. He already knew everything he put in us for who we're going to be and what we're going to do. He knew the choices we'd make before we ever made them. And we just haven't come to know ourselves yet. He knows things about us we haven't discovered yet. I had this thought this morning when I was looking it over. Let's go to Isaiah 49 and I'll bring it out of that one. Isaiah also knew this truth of being created before the womb too, or called in the womb. And a 49:1 maybe. Why didn't I write the number there? Listen to me and... Is it one?
Yep.
Listen to me and hearken, you people afar off. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother, he has made mention of my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me and said unto me. When this came so alive to me right at that point, it gripped me. Because it was like he was putting my name in that verse. And he said unto me, you are my servant, Isaiah, in whom I will be glorified. Put your name in there. And what I saw in the visual of that, when he says, I was like a polished shaft in his quiver. Here's God in heaven, and he's getting ready to go to war. When a man gets ready to go to war, he doesn't just grab up any arrows. Stick them in a quiver. He forms every arrow. He designs the arrows. Some of them shoot further distances. Each one has a different type of target it's going to hit. So the blade may be longer or more narrow or sharpened in a different way. But every single one is designed for a purpose. And he takes time creating each arrow. And then he puts it in the quiver. And then he makes another arrow and he puts it in the quiver. He made each one of us, like Isaiah said, like an arrow. He did this thousands of years ago because he was going to go to war with the devil. Before he even created the battlefield, he created the quiver, the arrows in his quiver. And that was us. So here he is with this massive quiver full of arrows. And then he goes, oh, there's one for 1978. Perfect timing, perfect arrow, put that in my quiver. Well, it had to be 77, 78, early 78. And shoot that into the womb of Sue Hampton to birth Janiyah. She was that arrow. So we were all these specially designed arrows to be here for this war between God and the devil. There's no accidental time of birth. There's no, I was born like this, but I'm trying to become that, or I decided I want to be this. No, you're becoming what he said you would become. And he already knew it when he had relationship with you in heaven. He knew that you would love him, you would choose him, you were designed for exactly what you were sent here to do at the right time. So he knows who we are, but we don't fully know who we are yet. We need to know. Jeremiah knew. Isaiah knew. They had hard lives, but they knew what their mission was. They knew why they were here. It can change our whole life if we stop feeling like we're just accidentally wandering through, you know? It helps you to hold on. And I like to write things, but I have so many things I can't keep a note up in front of me of everything he ever says because there's so much. But I go back over and I find something, it will take me through exactly what I'm going through right now. And he reminds me. And those truths get you through the hard times. Knowing who you are, knowing why you're here, even in the hard seasons. So, Isaiah's experience, when he said, listen to me and hearken unto me, and he said, listen, I want you to understand this. You are an arrow in God's quiver, and you are here on purpose, right on time. So we need to get excited about what God wants to do in our lifetime. God says we're shot like a arrow on fire into some area of darkness to light that up, to bring the fire of God. whatever excites you, because sometimes you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're here for. But there's things that excite your spirit. In scripture, something may draw you more than something else. But even in life, when you're going through life, what are the kind of things that just get you excited? I mean, like, obviously, when you see anything about Africa, your spirits get all stirred up. You know you're called to Africa. My first encounter was Moses. I watched that Ten Commandments. Moses went up that mountain, and he didn't care if it killed him. He saw this bright light, and he knew it was God, and he said, I'm going up there. I'm going to go up closer to God than any man's ever gone, and I don't care if it kills me. I'm going, because I'm going up there and see this great sight. 11 years old, that jumped up and down in my spirit to where I said, I'm finding that mountain when I grow up, and I'm going up there, and I don't care if it kills me. I'm going closer to God than anybody's ever gone. I want to go up that mountain, and I don't care if it kills me. At 11, it did that in my spirit, and I never lost it. I mean, I didn't find God till I was like 23, but I would go around telling people, I'm basically really religious, and I'm going to find God someday, you know? But I didn't know who he was or what it meant. But what excites me is going into the mysteries of God, finding the revelations, just discovering what's not laying on the surface, you know? That excites me. What excites you? What gets your spirit jumping? You know, what does that for you? Because that helps tell you who you are. I know, and that's something else, like spirit bearing witness. Whenever we can be anywhere and you just run into a person and your spirit clicks with them, and you just know you've met somebody that's a connection, you know? Mm-hmm. But I know it thrills you whenever you go anywhere and you can witness to somebody, you know, that excites you. Counseling somebody, comforting somebody, what is it, you know, that really excites you when you're reading the word or when you hear preaching? What excites you? You know, what tells you who you are? Because your spirit experienced these things in God that your brain doesn't remember, but they're in you. So whenever anything stirs that up, you know, your spirit will get excited, and you might not know why. But your spirit remembers what your mind doesn't remember yet. Then in Luke 1:15, let's look at the experience of John the Baptist. Luke 1:15 says that John was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That's an amazing thing. And yet, I think that we are already, it's like we get different doses of the Holy Spirit, different amounts, you know. Because when we meet God, we're sealed with the Spirit. When we surrender to minister, there's an anointing of the Spirit that increases. John knew who he was. John was sent to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And he would out loud say, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. John didn't mind declaring who he was. It's not pride to find out who you are and let people know who you are. I am a preacher. I am a prophet. I am a singer. It's not pride. And like a lady with a beautiful voice, for her to say, I do have a beautiful voice, it's a gift from God. But it's also true that it's only a voice if it's not anointed with the Spirit when she sings. So, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to tell people who we are. We shouldn't be afraid to walk up in a grocery store and say, hey, I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. I'm an evangelist. Because for one thing, it makes an announcement to them that God is in me. God wants to say something to you. So it's not a prideful statement. If you know who you are, you should keep telling yourself who you are. And then Paul, right, till you begin to live as living as who you are, not who you feel like today.
Right.
Yeah. Really, because our flesh is just the vehicle that we're using to travel through this world. And the vehicle shouldn't control the driver. The driver is your spirit, the real you. You control the vehicle. But when you're done with your mission, you just leave this vehicle in the junkyard and go on up to heaven. You know, it's just a car. You're just using it. We're on a road trip. We're not getting drunk. Well, in the spirit, maybe.
I don't need this chassis anymore.
Right. There you go. So let's see, Paul in Galatians 1:15. Paul knew who he was. And he knew when he was called. He knew it now. He didn't know it when he was in the womb or once he got born. He says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, he knew he was called to preach. He knew who he was called to preach to. And he knew that he was called in the womb. But he did not know that until after he met Christ. But he did announce himself once he knew who he was. He would say, I am an apostle. I am a preacher. In 2 Timothy 1:11, he said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. He knew who he was sent to. He knew what he was sent there to do. So it doesn't really matter where you're at right now, who you think you are right now, but to find out who you really are and what your purpose is can change your whole life, you know. And if God were to tell you to stand up and do something, if you didn't really believe that's what he created you for, you'd be afraid to do it. So with Isaiah, with Moses, with John, with Paul, until they had this encounter with God, they weren't empowered. They weren't released. But we have a time of release coming. They were in a season of preparation and training, and then there was a release. We've got a release coming, but we have to start living with our goals before our eyes so that we're not just pushing through the routine, mundane day.
Waiting till someday.
Waiting for that someday. Without vision, people perish. I mean, we have to say, I know where I'm going. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. And, I mean, I know sometimes it's so long and so hard before that day gets here. And when God called us, it can be 40 years. And you start thinking, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's never going to happen. Maybe I'm getting too old. Maybe I've missed it. But you can't think like that because you have to keep that goal. Moses was like 40 before he went up that mountain. And then he was 40 again running around in the wilderness. And then he was 40 again running around in the wilderness the second time. Wait. He was 120 when he died.
Another 40 years.
Right. He had these three sets of 40s in his life.
Right.
I wish I knew what 40 meant. Do you know what the number 40 stands for or means? Me neither. But there's something to it because he was up in the mountain 40 days with God. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. I mean, this 40 is a big thing.
Yeah.
I've already got one of them down. You know, I'm pushing toward the second 40. But I hope we don't have to have 40s like he did. I'm not going to go into it, but Moses was young when he died. He said it was 120, but I believe he had youth renewal. And that's a whole different study, but that's pretty cool too. But Paul said, when it pleased God, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, when it was time to reveal his son in me,
exactly.
That's when it all really broke loose. I had a vision where I felt like I was experiencing something of my own creation, where I felt myself like in the eye of God, like that twinkle in his eye. It was like I felt that, and I experienced like him knowing me in some kind of relationship, and like I was reliving my own creation and feeling this love, and could just feel his heartbeat inside of me as I came into being. And then I saw me in his eye, like sweet and precious and gentle and delicate. And I could see all the colors that were becoming me. And then all of a sudden, I was in the womb. And it was kind of cool, like just feeling myself before I actually was even put into my mom's womb. And that vision went on to where there was a sadness and experienced the feeling of her not wanting me to be there. She didn't want to have a baby. And then in this vision, though, God was saying she needed you as much as you needed her because of all her loneliness and suffering, things that had gone on. She needed you. Like he
that's
gave
probably,
me to her because she needed me.
That's probably why the others felt like she loved you more
than
them.
Yeah.
Because she needed you more.
Yeah. And but that didn't come into her awareness until years later.
Right.
You know. But and God spoke that to me in that vision when I felt like I was in the womb. He said, she doesn't want you now, but she will want you later. Like he even told me that, you know, in the vision. And it's just really amazing that my mom seemed to be watching this same vision. I understand that better now that I see how he rewinds time and does the reliving of events. And it was like my mom was there and seeing it and feeling bad about that, but she couldn't go back and fix it. And it was all like just fixed in that moment of forgiveness and love, and it, all of that just got repaired, you know. It's almost like I got to relive that whole moment, and so did she, to see it differently and for the love to be there and all the mercy and everything, you know. So it was very cool. In 2 Timothy 1, I don't know, somewhere between 6 and 9, because I didn't type them all. I want to turn there and read it, and we'll find the one I'm looking for. You want to read all of them, 6 to 9?
There, okay. 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 9. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Back in that very first one, wherefore I put you in remembrance to stir up the gift of God. Everything that you are in God is inside of you. You just need to get stirred up in who you are and why you're here. But that last verse, it said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Our whole call, who we are, all the grace we need, everything was already given and instilled in who we are before the world ever began, when he formed us as an arrow in his quiver. All of that was already in us. We're just now discovering it. We're just now discovering who we are, what he's going to do through us. And there's some more verses in Timothy. I think it starts at 11, maybe. Or no, maybe it's 10 where we left off. But is now made manifest. Is that 10?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality light through the gospel. Now it is manifest. God is wanting to open up who you are to you. Open up everything he has for you to do here. And just follow those clues of what excites your spirit, why it excites your spirit. If you're called to be an intercessor, intercession excites your spirit. Just take some clues and start finding you. And then Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We need to ask. God, who am I? And you know what? That answer is not a one word. Because we are multifaceted. And there's many things we are. You can make a whole list. Who am I, God? Oh, you're a mother heart. Who am I, God? You're a prophet. Who am I, God? You're a teacher. Who am I, God? Keep asking him until no more words come to your mind. Find out everything you are. What am I here to do? Kick out all the doubts and all the negativities and start living as who you really are. You're just clothed in this carnal clothing. You may look like an old woman. You may look like a strange looking man. Doesn't matter what you look like. That's not who you are. You need to look in a different mirror. And I just keep saying, there's mysteries. There's things to find out. Ask. Get curious. Get real curious about who you are, because it'll change how you go through this life. You should share, like Tempe the other day, who she really is and what she thought of herself in that moment. Like, I ruin everything. And then when you really prayed with her and she saw herself as who she is, how different she acted from that. You should tell them that. Giving and loving and helping, because that's who she is. But when she didn't believe who she is, I ruin everything. Depression, sad. That's what we do. When we believe a lie about who we are, we give up, we quit, we hate ourselves, we can't do anything. And as soon as we see who we really are, we can get full of life, ready to go and give. So it's really important to know and to hold on to who you are, why you're here. It's hard when you're sick too, and there's so much, you know, when you're sick and you're wiped out physically, it's really hard. It's hard to even want to read, hard to want to pray, hard to want to do anything. Harvey and I battled that all week. We'd both try to do something, and then it was like, are you ready for a break? Yeah, back to the chairs. Let's just sit again. Didn't want to do anything at all. And then I got so tired of sitting in this chair. It's like, oh, I have to function. But even when we do the mundane routine things every day, if we find purpose in them, everything is training. Everything is building character. Everything is somehow making you stronger or smarter or kinder, or everything we go through is developing something, you know. Nothing is wasted. No time is wasted. It's all valuable.
If this is where God wants us, there's a purpose in it, a divine purpose in it.
Even when it seems like there's no good in it, the testing of your faith is the good in it. Just saying, I hate my life right this minute. I am not happy. I don't like anything I'm going through. But though he slay me, yet will I praise him, trust him. I will trust him. There is coming a day when that'll all be over.